Of all the scripture that's just been read, I'm just going to focus on a couple of the verses. So one of those is going to be Hebrews 12, 28 and 29, which says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." And the other verse I'm going to look at a bit later is Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." So the first verse I'm going to look at is talking about a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and the verse I'm going to look at later is talking about how God equips us to do his will. So it says, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So what does that mean to us ordinary people sitting here at Trinity on a Sunday morning? Because we live in a world that can be a bit shaky, don't we? Nothing is guaranteed. We don't know what's around the corner, do we? And we can lay the best plans, but we don't always know how that they will pan out. So before I look at an unshakable kingdom, I'm just going to look at some things in the shakable kingdom that we live in. One of those things is money. Money's an important thing to have. We need money, don't we? Money gets you lots of stuff, and money comes and goes easily. Sometimes it doesn't come easily, but it goes easily, doesn't it? So money is not an unshakable foundation. Our employment, jobs, they can be a bit shaky, can't they? We're not guaranteed a job for life, are we? Our relationships in life, there are some amazing people to be friends with, aren't there? However, we're all fragile, flawed human beings, aren't we? And we make mistakes and we get it wrong. Even with the best of intentions, we mess up. So our relationships can be a bit shaky sometimes too. Our security and safety in this world, that is shaky, isn't it? We live in a beautifully created world, don't we? Where anything can happen, and it seems to. And you only need to put the news on to see that, don't you? People do terrible things to one another, and people do terrible things, and people use power and control, don't they, to terrorize people. So our safety in this world is not unshakable. Our health, it can be unpredictable, can't it? We don't know what life will bring. Many of us hear about and are affected by bad health news, and really sad things happen. So our general health is not unshakable. Life itself, life is precious and fragile. And Psalm 103, verse 15 and 16 says, "The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows it over and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more." So our lives and the world around us is shaky sometimes. And personally, we can be a bit shaky too, can't we? We can have good days and bad days, and days when we're really courageous, and days when we're not, and days when we're strong, days when we're not, and our wisdom can be a bit sketchy sometimes. And having said all of that, life on planet Earth is pretty good. It's filled with the beauty of God. But life is shaky, and we can be shaky too. However, the good news is the things of the kingdom of God are unshakable. These are the things in life that will never change. These are the things that will remain. They are immovable and unshakable. They are the non-negotiables of God, the unshakable truths. So we'll look at those. One unshakable truth: God has the best in store for you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." This is an unshakable truth. It doesn't mean that life will be a picnic, but it does mean that whoever you are sat here today, a unique person, God has a plan for your life, and it's a good one. Another unshakable truth: God is in control even when it doesn't look like it. The events of this world, God is not perplexed by them. God does not see what man does and think, "Oh no, what am I going to do now? I didn't think they would do that." God's plan for mankind and for planet Earth stands, no matter what the plans of man throw into the mix. And there will come a day when God rights the wrongs of this world. Our God, it says in Hebrews 12:29, is a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire of holiness, and he judges the world justly and fairly. He is a consuming fire of holiness, and he cannot and will not tolerate sin. The God we serve is absolutely unshakable, and he is absolutely in control. Christ our Lord is an unshakable foundation. Jesus is our cornerstone. That is an unshakable truth. The foundation of the church. Scripture says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church is unshakable. As believers, we stand forgiven of every sin, not guilty. This is an unshakable truth, that if the Son sets you free, you are absolutely free indeed. God will never go back on the cross. He will not. On the cross, he said, "It is finished." And that was once for all time, for all people, from beginning of time to the end of time. That is an unshakable truth. As Christians, we can go into the Holy of Holies, as Andrew talked about a couple of weeks ago, to the presence of the Father. This is for believers in Jesus, and this is an unshakable truth. Jesus has made a way for us to go into a presence of a Father who will speak to us, listen to us, guide us, protect us, and love us. We can come into his presence, and he will never, ever turn us away. There is a God who adores you. That is an unshakable truth. He is a God who loves you. His love is everlasting. His love has knows no bounds and has no borders. Ephesians 3 verse 18 says, "And may we have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is." For you personally sitting here today, his love is unshakable to its very core. As Christians, the Holy Spirit is within us. He is an unshakable spirit. When we give our lives to Jesus for his service, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us, and he will never leave. Ephesians 1 verse 13 says, "Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." If you're a believer, God has marked you with an unshakable seal. The Holy Spirit, he lives in us. He's not scared in this life. There is no fear in him. He is an unshakable spirit who gives us power from on high to live this life his way. He is an unshakable spirit who has the power to raise the dead to life. He is an unshakable spirit who has the power to heal. And he will never leave us. He is absolutely committed to us. He will guide us, comfort us, counsel us, and carry us through the shakable events of this life. The word of God is an unshakable truth. The word of God is amazing. The word of God stands forever. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever." The word of God is a truth that will remain. It is everlasting truth for all people, for all time. And just because the world becomes modern, it does not change the unshakable truth of the Bible. Having said all of that, receiving an unshakable kingdom does not mean safety for the body. It does not mean that we will escape earthquakes. It does not mean that we will escape pain and sorrow. It does not mean that we will escape tests and trials. But it does mean that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nor present nor future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will ever, ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it does mean that we have a deep and abiding certainty within us that whether we live or die, we belong to him, we are his, and we are absolutely safe in his care. So we live in the midst of this. We live in a world that is shakable, and yet we belong to a kingdom that is unshakable. We're in this world, but not of this world, as Jesus said. So Hebrews 13, verse 20 to 21 says, "Nay, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So it says that God equips his people. So how does God equip his people? God uses the shakable things of this world to equip us for the work of the unshakable kingdom. Anything and absolutely everything that we go through in this life is never wasted. There's a saying, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called, thankfully. And we as Christians will know that we don't go through life floating on a cloud, do we? We go through the storms of life with a faithful Saviour by our side. And he is a faithful Saviour who himself has suffered. It is through the unshakable events of this life that we grow closer to God, that we learn his ways, that we come into his presence, and that we grow in faith and trust. And I think as we go through and we go through, God reveals a bit more of who he is, and we can always learn more of who he is. In the midst of the storms of this life, in the joys of this life, quite often in the pain and sorrow and the things we would rather not go through, it is in those things that God equips us for the work of the unshakable kingdom. God has a plan for your life, whoever you are, and that is undisputed. And for some of us, we may feel a specific desire to serve God in some way. And some of us may think, I've no clue what God wants me to do. And some of us may have an idea and we're trying to walk in it. If you want to walk in the very plans of God and you want to serve him with all of your heart and you want to know him so much more deeply, then you will most likely be shaken in this world one way or another. And it is that that will equip you for the work of the unshakable kingdom. We can see in the Bible that God's people go through the mill a bit. They're ordinary people. They make mistakes, and despite their failures, God uses them. So I want to look at four people in the Bible very briefly. The first one is Joseph. You can read the story of Joseph in Genesis 37 to 50. Joseph has a dream from God. He tells his brothers. His brothers throw him in a pit and sell him as a slave. And sometimes we face opposition, and sometimes it's from our families, and it's not easy. Joseph then, after being sold as a slave, he is accused of something he didn't do. He's put in prison for it, he's forgotten, and he's overlooked. And sometimes we are wrongly accused, and we're misunderstood, and lied about, and forgotten about, and overlooked. And sometimes people don't treat us the way that they should. But one thing that we can learn from Joseph is that whatever life threw at him, and it did throw quite a bit, he still served God faithfully, even in the small things. And if we have a dream to serve God in some way, we can all learn from Joseph to serve Jesus in the supposedly small and insignificant things where no one is looking, because actually the one that matters, he is looking. And we need to be consistent and be faithful to the faithful one. Moses. The story of Moses is in Exodus. Moses was set apart by God. He had an unfortunate childhood, but one where God was very much present. As with all of our childhoods, sometimes they're not as we hoped they would be. But God was very much present, even if we didn't realize. Moses messes up, he kills someone, he takes the law into his own hands, and he runs away. And that time away is a bit of a wilderness time for Moses, and it's a time where God can work in him. The wilderness is not an easy place to be, it's not a comfortable place, it's a testing time, and it can be a lonely time and a confusing time. But it is a place where God will work absolute miracles if we have a willing heart. After some time in the wilderness, there is the burning bush and the call from God. Remember, Moses, before he went into the wilderness, was a man who took the law into his own hands. He did things the way he thought. After the burning bush and the call from God, Moses feels inadequate. He knows that he doesn't have what it takes to do what God has called him to do, and now God can use that man. He is reliant on God and he to lead him and guide him as he deals with Pharaoh and leads God's people out of Egypt. Sometimes, to equip us for the work of the unshakable kingdom, God brings us to the end of ourselves, to the end of our ego, to the end of us thinking, do you know what, I'm going to be brilliant at this. The end of us thinking, I've got this, Lord, I'll let you know if I need a hand. He will bring us to a place of utter dependence on him, knowing that we are completely unworthy and completely unable without him. Abraham. Abraham is in Genesis 12 to 25. There is a calling from God for Abraham, and Abraham has to learn obedience and patience. He suffers childlessness along the way. He has to wait for the very thing that he wants, a son and heir. And Abraham learns to trust God and be patient. And trusting God anyway and being patient anyway when we don't receive what we ask for in prayer is not an easy thing. God said that he would bless Abraham with many descendants. Abraham believed him and his faith grew. When Abraham did have a son, God asked him to sacrifice that son. And sometimes the very dreams that God has given us, he asks us to sacrifice to him, to put into his hands, to do with as he wills. Abraham trusted God, and their relationship in the Bible is described as a friendship. Last one, Esther. You can read about Esther in the book of Esther. Esther again had an unfortunate childhood. Both her parents died, so she was brought up by her uncle. Our childhood does not define our outcome. It does not define God's plans for us. Esther became queen, and she was in a very favorable position, and that in itself can be a test. She could have forgotten her Jewish background. She could have forgotten the God that she serves and enjoyed being the king's favorite and that of royalty. But she didn't. She remained faithful to God and she remained faithful to the Jews and she risked her life for them. So God uses ordinary people for extraordinary things. He uses the shakable, ordinary things of this life to equip us for the work of the unshakable kingdom. And we don't need to be particularly courageous or intelligent or clever or strong or any of those things, thankfully. We just need to be willing. We need to have a willing heart, willing to put God's will above our own, willing to get over ourselves quite often, willing to be patient, and willing to allow God to refine us, which is quite often painful, and willing also to surrender our dreams to God in the hope that he will make them a reality. Let's have a drink. God equips us through this life, and I'm sure that most of us can look back at the timeline of our lives and mark events where God has equipped us. And for each of us, this will have been different. For some of us, God may have said, I will put you in lots of situations where you will develop courage, because for what I am calling you to, you're going to need courage. Or you will have lots of events in your life where you will need to learn patience, because for what I'm calling you to, you will need patience. Or you may have lots of difficulties in your life so that you will have compassion on those who struggle. Or you may suffer at the hands of others and be oppressed so that you will have a passion to set the captives free in the name of my son. You may be lied about and cheated on so that you will understand the depths of pain that this causes and you will learn the power of forgiveness and pass that on to others. You may struggle financially so that you will develop strategies to help those in the same situation. Or you may experience and face the powers of darkness so that you will know the unshakable power of my son, that he is the Lord, that he is almighty and that there is none above him. And I will give you a mouth to proclaim his holy name. All our lives will be different. We have different personalities, different characters, different gifts, different things to learn and go through. And in the midst of it all, the unshakable kingdom, the shakable world, there is a God who loves you. And he has you in his hands, and his plans for you remain, no matter what things may look like in life. And he allows us by his grace to receive the unshakable kingdom. And quite often it is the very wounds that we have that he uses to equip us for that work, not the badges of honor. Just pray for us, Andrew, if that's all right. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you let us receive, Lord, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We thank you, Lord, that you are an unshakable God who is above all, and yet you know us so very well. And I pray for each person here, Lord, that they may know you so much more deeply, Lord God, that they may know that all the things in life that go on, that you are a faithful Savior who walks by their side. I pray, Father, for your blessings upon each person, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.